A lot of preaching in the church setting serves a few purposes: to get us to refocus, to get us to maintain focus, and to get us to hopefully end with focus. The world is full of distractions. And it's better to trust the Lord to put confidence in man. You know the old saying, I can't remember exactly what it was. I don't believe anything you hear and half of what you see or whatever. But we are not capable of weeding through all the garbage like God is. This whole world's it's a hurricane of confusion. It's just trying to nail down truth without the Bible is impossible. So the truth is Jesus Christ, and the truth is God's Word. We're going to look at that, anchor that today, and take some refuge in the Bible. I want this church to be strong in the Lord, to grow as the Lord sees fit, and to end right dead center in the middle of God's will, whether He calls us out in the next 5 minutes or what have you. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want to look at a few things today, beginning in verse number 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The first thing I want to see in verse number 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The new beginning. Aren't you glad you get a new beginning at salvation? I mean, I know your mind, the world, the devil, people you know, they'll take you back to something you've done wrong, especially if you're trying to witness to them. A lot of times they'll say, well, look at you, and you just think you're better than me, and look at you. Well, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Jesus Christ. And we get a new beginning being in Christ. We talked about that in Sunday school. We're going to heaven because we're in Christ. We're not going to heaven because of our good works, and we're not going to hell because of our bad. We're going to heaven because of imputation. Jesus Christ, God looked down and said, I will give you the righteousness of my Son. There's your new beginning. We had a beginning that if we could have kept the law, we could have made it to heaven. But you know what? The law was given that all the world may become guilty before God. And guess what? I realized one day I was guilty before God. And if you're saved, born again, you realized it too. And you trusted Christ and His death, burial, resurrection, blood atonement on Calvary. And it is finished. Got a new beginning. And I'll tell you, you ever get about halfway through the day and think, boy, I wish I had a new beginning. I wish I could go back to bed, set the alarm, get up, or maybe not get up till tomorrow. Amen. Skip this one. But get up and make a couple of different decisions. Because here you are in the middle of the day, in the middle of a mess, and say, Lord, I wanted to live for you today, and I'm struggling here. I got all this going on. Everything's going wrong, and the attack's real. Everything's falling apart. I'm just not, and boy, a new beginning. But eternally, we got a new beginning. Praise God. The world's a dumpster. It's always been a dumpster. Whatever the Epstein list says, or whatever Putin says, or whatever North Korea says, that doesn't surprise God, because the world's always been a dumpster. It was pretty good for a while when 8 people got off a boat. Amen? It was really good before two men and a woman messed up in the garden. 2 people. It was really good then. God said everything was good. Well, really good again for a short time after they get off the boat. But I'll tell you what, it's all a mess, and it's going to be a mess until Jesus Christ fixes it. He's coming back. We have a new beginning in Christ. The world's going to get a new beginning. And you know what they're going to do with their new beginning? They're going to mess it up. They're going to mess it up. Because he's going to regenerate this earth. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And he's going to be the perfect ruler to rule and reign just. It's not going to be like, oh, maybe Clarence Thomas this or Kavanaugh this or whatever. It's going to be Jesus said it, so it is. Amen. We're not waiting for a dissenting opinion. We're not waiting to see a paperwork on why he made his decision. We'll just know he made the decision and it's right. Amen. The world's not going to be able to question. It's not going to be Democrat versus Republican. It's going to be Jesus Christ, and it's going to be people whether they can submit to the flesh or submit to the truth while the devil's bound for 1,000 years. Amen. The millennial reign. The world's going to get a new beginning. And God's going to do that, I believe, wholeheartedly to say, I'm going to wipe out your excuses and I'm going to give you another chance after the church age. I'm going to give you a chance to please me. Without the devil, without being able to say the devil made me do it, without being able to blame each other, you're going to be personally responsible and nations are going to be responsible to go before him and obey him. Amen. But we have a new beginning now. You know, in salvation, you have a new beginning at the new birth, and you can get a new beginning every day by putting things under the blood and going on. You know, we talked earlier about maybe sometimes you get up and get going, and boy, your heart is in it. And the more your heart's in it, the more you're going to get the devil's attention. And boy, you get up, and you're, Lord, I've never felt like this for you before. I love you, and I want to do right by you. I don't even want to have a bad thought. I want everything to be perfectly clean and perfectly satisfying. I want to be able to, if you come down right now, that you can look me in the eye and say, well done, a good and faithful servant. And by noon, you're like, okay, I give up. As a born-again believer, you can get on your knees and start over right in the middle of the day. Lord, I know this stuff's going on. I can't change it. Carry me through it. Let me be pleasing to you. Or some days, we just say, I'm done. We'll start over again tomorrow. But we can start. We could have a new beginning anytime we get on our knees and ask the Lord to forgive us. Ask the Lord to help us. Ask the Lord to strengthen us. Thank God for a new beginning. Verse number 2, it says, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The new beginning, when you get the new beginning, you get a new walk. You couldn't walk right before you were saved. You could walk according to what you were taught, according to the structure that was set up by family and friends and the world. But you couldn't walk pleasing to God until the Holy Spirit of God moves in you and starts directing your steps. Now we got a new walk. We can actually please God because we've had that new beginning. Now I know I watch little Connor. He'll get up and he'll hang on to the couch and he'll take 2 or 3 steps and he'll stand there and then he'll just get in and start crawling. We know he can walk, but he's not figured it all out yet. Amen. I know that he could take 20 steps and be just fine. But he thinks, maybe I'll fall, maybe I won't, but I know if I'm crawling, I'm all right, and I can get there faster, amen? And that's kind of like us. We get out there, and we walk, we wobble around, we get down and crawl, but he's hanging on to that couch for security. You know what? We need to hang on to the Lord and hang on to this book for security, amen? If you're going to walk right, like Jerry Gard used to say, hang on to Jesus with both hands, amen? And that's what we need. We need to hang on to Jesus. I'm not hanging on to Donald Trump or the Republican Party. I mean, the blue side don't even have handles. You couldn't hang on to that mess. I'm not hanging on to man. I'm hanging on to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm hanging on to this book. And the devil's trying to pry your fingers off of both of those things. The world would say, well, put the book down and forget it. That's just a fairy tale. Jesus Christ, forget that. Just live for you and be all you can be and all that stuff and collect everything you can collect and trying to pry your fingers, to pry your security away from you. The only thing you have you can count on is your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And if the devil come in here and shot me dead, I'm not going to leave that book by the grace of God. Amen, amen, and amen. That's what you have. If the devil can take that from you, he can destroy your life. And I'm not talking about, there are people out there with destroyed lives you look at and say they're successful. They've got money, they've got cars, they've got things, they've got prestige, they've got power. But they don't have Jesus Christ, they have no new beginning, they have no idea that they're going to burn in hell forever. They have no idea that, they pretend like it's not even real. But you've had a new beginning and a new walk, and with that walk, if you're going to walk right, you're going to have to hang on to some things. And the first thing I'm going to tell you to hang on to is the book. And if you can hang on to the book and hang on to the Lord and hang on to what you know is right by the Holy Spirit's guidance, you can please God. I think sometimes it feels like the Baptist job is to discourage everybody by telling you you're wicked. It seems like it. But I'm telling you, you can please God. You may not be able to please Him 24/7, but you can walk with Him every day and be pleasing to Him at least part of the time. Amen. The more you hang on to that book. As a church, you know what we need to do? Hang on to that book. I'm a Baptist, bottom of my feet, top of my head, all that. I believe the old school Baptist doctrine like the Baptists don't even believe it. I believe the book like the Bible believers don't even believe it. Amen? I believe the book. That's all I've got. Without that, I have nothing. Nothing else is real. But we're going to hang on to that book by the grace of God as long as I'm here. And hang on to the music. Hang on to the old school Baptist preaching the best I can. Hang on to the truth. I don't want to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And if you ditch the truth, that's what happens. You say, well, there are a couple things they're not going to move me on. There could be a whole lot of things that the devil and the world aren't going to move you on if you hang on to the book. I know I'm saved. I know I'm sealed. Great. You're going to heaven. But the devil knows you're going to heaven. He knows he can't take that from you, but he can take everything else if you let him. You let go of that book, you'll still be saved, you'll still be going to heaven, but you won't please God here. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. And I'm not telling you that because I know something and I'm special and all the other people, I'm better than them, and look at me, look at me. I'm telling you, that's it right there in English. When you start fooling around with the quote-unquote originals and fooling around with this Greek and this Hebrew and that Aramaic and these scrolls and that scrolls and this church and that church and the fathers and the traditions and all that stuff, and you get away from what this book says, you're in trouble. This is what you can anchor to. God told you, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. God is not a man that he should lie. He would not ask you to keep something you don't have. He knows we're not smart enough to figure out the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, and find the original. So He loves you as the bride of Christ, and He gave you a Bible. And I'm telling you which one it is. It's right here. Amen. Hang on to it. Don't let man pry your fingers and your heart away from the truth. If you want to be of God's fold and pleasing to Him without straying and without Christ looking for you, trying to bring you back in all the time, stay within the parameters of what He's told. And what you don't understand, don't take some man's word for it. Amen. I found out one thing in college. There are a lot of people they have a lot of shiny brains and a lot of big pieces of paper and spend a lot of money on quote-unquote education that are fools. Amen. And boy, if they took me into a court of law and they could say, well, this, that, and the other was science, and I could say, well, I don't believe that because it didn't match up with the Bible, and the court of law would say, well, they proved it was science because nobody knows better. But the truth is, if you want to show somebody you have some wisdom, if you want to have wisdom that's pleasing to God, get it from Him. Get it from Him. God is miles away from most of these schools. He's miles away from most of these universities. He's miles away from most of these certificates and most of these degrees and most of these things. that puff men up, but he's nigh to them that hold on to his word. He's close to that. I asked the Lord to settle this for me a long time ago, this Bible issue, and he settled it for me. You're not going to talk me out of it. I don't even care anymore. You're not going to talk me out of it. God settled it. No man settled it. The Baptists didn't settle it. The Presbyterians didn't settle it. Ruckman didn't settle it. Jack Hiles didn't settle it. Billy Sunday didn't settle it. God settled it. And I'm not going to let any man talk me out of it. Now, if you show me something in that book that doesn't line up with I believe that book, and I can scripture on scripture, I can change my mind and change my heart on my beliefs in certain areas. I can change them. If the book says it and it doesn't line up with what I believe, I'll line up with it. But I'm not leaving that book to line up with something that book doesn't say. Amen? God has given us a new beginning. He's given us a new walk. And if you're going to walk with Him and please Him, you're going to walk according to His words. And that's an unpopular belief anymore. But we believe it. Amen. I thank God for some old school people in here that believe the truth. That's not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. New beginning, get a new walk. The last part of that verse, number 2. Let's read the whole verse again. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You get a new work. Get a new work. You can work to please God. Now look, your walk and your work are connected, but they're a little bit different. Your walk, you shouldn't go the same places you went when you were lost. You shouldn't do the same things, hang out with the same crowd. You shouldn't walk with the same people. Your everyday existence should be different than the world. But you can work to please God. You can walk around so people can look at you and say there's something different about them, and it's not them. There's something in them that's different. There's something in them that most people don't have. You know what it is? It's the Spirit of God because of the words of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't have a spiritual walk and a spiritual work without the spiritual word. But you can work to please Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You got new work, new walk, new ways. Your new ways. You used to walk according to the children of wrath. What you did? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You know what fulfilling the desires of the flesh leaves you with? Emptiness. Emptiness. There's no end to it. You ever had, you know, that kind of going back to watching a baby learn to walk. I was over there, little Connor, he's standing up at the edge of the couch, and he's doing this number, you know, and he's like, I know I can lean forward and get to you so I don't have to walk. I don't have to step out there in faith, amen. So I move my hands back a little bit. He takes a step or two, and he leans, knowing I'm going to catch him. He has more confidence in me catching him than him making the extra step because he knows the adults that he's around aren't going to let him down. So we back up a little bit more, and next thing you know, they're taking 2 or 3 steps and then leaning. And then the next thing you know, they're taking 20 steps. But how about that when somebody keeps moving the mark? That baby feels like it's unobtainable until finally he can make those steps on his own. And then he knows he can get to you. God doesn't make things unattainable. He gives you a new walk, he gives you new work, he gives you new ways. You can do things that please God. When he says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my commandments. If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. Be holy, for I'm holy. He gives you the ability to do it. There's a way for you to do it. Now, you're still messing with the flesh, and the flesh is with you all the time. You ever hang around somebody and you're like, man, I got to get away from him? Then you realize when you get home, I got to get away from me. It's not just them. I'm part of my problem here. But I mean, a lot of the devil's people and a lot of sometimes God's people out of God's will help your flesh try to pull you out of God's will. Ah, come on, it's just one of these. It's just one of those. It ain't going to hurt you. Jesus drank wine. Jesus did it. It doesn't say nothing about that in the Bible. That's, if it doesn't say anything about it, we're kind of... No, it does say things about it. It says abstain from the appearance of evil. And it says your body is a holy temple. You're supposed to take care of it. So if you know something's wrong, you don't have to find the verse in the Bible. So what doesn't mention the word crack in the Bible? Okay. I mean, come on now. But you have a new beginning, a new walk. You have been appointed to a new work and new ways. I'm going to change letters on you here. 4-6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a new position. We have a new position. I love my biological family, even though we don't agree on some things sometimes. They're still my biological family, praise the Lord, all that. But they're not my guidepost anymore. They were. Until salvation, you run on what you're taught as a family. And thank God for Christian mamas and daddies and aunts and uncles and all that stuff to guide people to do things that are biblical. But you get a new position. Now you're placed in Christ and you're placed in the family of God. You have a new family. That doesn't get rid of the old family. It just gives you a new anchor point for your new beginning. Amen? You ever feel like, I should be able to trust my biological family, but there are a couple of them I just can't trust? I think we all say that. I mean, I can't even trust me 100% of the time, amen? We should be able to trust each other. We have been given a new beginning, a new walk, a new work, a new way, and put in a new position, put in a family of God. We should be able to trust each other. And I'm not just talking about whether you're going to sell me a junk car or I'm going to sell you something that's going to fall. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, that temporal stuff. I'm talking about we should be able to trust each other, to be praying for each other, and have each other's back spiritually. I know there are people in my biological family that will pray for me. But I know everybody in this church would pray for me. Probably are. But I know if I asked, they would all do it, and I could depend on it. Amen? And you could do the same. You've been given a new position. You've been placed in the family of God, which is like no other family. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You've been given new promises. He shows his kindness toward us. You see that? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He showed his kindness through Christ Jesus, his mercy, his grace, and he gave us some new promises. You know what the world doesn't have? They don't have a promise they're going to heaven. You say, well, we'll all get there. We'll all be judged. No, they're going to be judged when the new heaven and new earth are gone. They're going to be standing out in the middle of nothing, getting ready to cast into a lake of fire without Christ. They don't have that promise. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. They don't have that promise. They might have a feeling or a thought or an inkling, if you will. But you have that promise. He says they'll never leave you nor forsake you. The lowest point that you can get to in this world, Jesus Christ, if you're saved, he's right with you. In that downstairs area, that you know, there's a sign, I believe in the sun when it's not shining. I believe this, that, and yet I believe in God when I don't see him, when I can't feel him and all that. That's truth. That doesn't change when the world, the flesh, and the devil is stomping you out. God's still with you. Amen? It doesn't change. My circumstances don't change my position. My circumstances don't change his promises. And although it's difficult to take the next step most of the time when you're in the middle of the storm or a lot of the time, my circumstances don't change my purpose. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our circumstances don't change our position. It doesn't change our promises. It doesn't change our purpose. And our purpose is to glorify Him. Wouldn't it be nice if our purpose was to tell everybody about Jesus and they were all going to just get saved when you told them? Wouldn't it make it a lot easier? I know if I just walk up to them, the Holy Spirit's just going to make them get saved. I'm not a Calvinist. I know that doesn't happen, amen? Because there are definitely times when the Lord says witness to them and they reject it. That irresistible grace, they resist it. That's another reason I'm not a Calvinist. But that doesn't change my purpose. My purpose is to tell people about Jesus Christ. He's not an answer, He's the answer. He's not a way to heaven, He's the way to heaven. We still have the same purpose. Hey, you're saved, you still have the same position, you're in Christ, you're in the body of Christ, you're in the church family, you have the same promises, no matter what's going on, you have the same purpose. Now I understand people get to a point where they can't fulfill all the purposes they used to fulfill, but you can still glorify God in prayer. You can still glorify God in praise. Amen? In verse 14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We have a new position, new promises, new purpose, and a new peace. I don't know, the other day it was, oh, y'all remember the day it was foggy. Remember, up till like 11 in the morning, it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Felt like you could just reach out and grab a handful of it right out for your windshield. And honestly, I don't like driving that stuff. I like it less now than I did when I was younger. Driving in that stuff, and you know how it is. You get this tension that starts coming out in the steering wheel. And you hit the brakes different. Everything. It just starts coming out of your actions, this tension from being nervous about the situation. And you finally get to that place. I mean, I pulled up out here and I got parked, and I'm glad that's over with. I may have to stay here for a couple days because I'm not starting that car again until I can see past the hood at least, amen? And you got some peace about knowing you've reached your destination. We've got a new peace. If you're saved, you've reached your destination. Your destination is Christ. You are in Christ. Amen? In one sense, geographically, we're in this flesh, and this is our vehicle. Like we were talking about earlier, this is our vehicle. And people see this vehicle and say, there goes Paul, there goes Julie, there goes Denise, there goes Robert, there goes David. But even when the wheels come off the vehicle, you're not the vehicle. This vehicle is temporal. We have a new peace knowing we're in Christ. And like I said earlier, anchor yourself to the Bible. Grab onto this thing with both hands and hang on to it until He calls us out of here. And I know you can't carry it with you all the time, open, reading it 24/7, but you can hang on to it with your heart and believe this book. And I feel sorry for the preachers that are going to have to stand before the Lord that didn't tell their people. This is, you can count on it. Try to talk them out of it. It's a sad day when you have to try to talk people into it. Believers, what does that even mean if you don't believe the book? But you can have peace by knowing He's coming back. All these spiritual, I'll pick words carefully here. All the spiritually challenged out there that do not believe what God says, that do not believe He says what He means and mean what He says, that try to tell you there is no rapture, tell you there is no eternal security, tell you there is no whatever. Hogwash. Just off the cuff here, by the grace of God, I'm going to give you some things to hang on to. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He did this. He said it was good. Man messed it up. Jesus Christ died. He lived a sinless life. He died the death all the sinners deserved to die, paid the debt for the entire world, the debt to regenerate this earth. the debt to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of all times. He earned that. You can hang on to it. He saved your soul and He saved it forever. You can hang on to it. Imputation. He's imputed His righteousness to you. And when God the Father looks at you, He sees the righteousness of His own Son, which is God. You can hang on to it. He's given you a word. His, not a word like the televangelist. I mean, He's given you His words like this book. An extended prophecy of this book, inside this book. You can hang on to it. He's coming back to call us out of here one way or the other, whether it's from the grave or from the pulpit or whatever. He's going to call us out of here. We're going to be raptured out and meet Him in the air. You can hang on to it. And there's no scholar going to talk you out of it. If you're hanging on to the book, there ain't no scholar going to talk you out of it. No intellectual going to talk you out of it. The devil's not going to talk you out of it. Your flesh is not going to talk you out of it, because God has placed you in Christ and you can hang on to that. You're as seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're already there. You can hang on to it. So what happens if I fall over dead? Well, if you're saved, you're already there. He's just releasing you from the bondage of this flesh. Amen, amen, and amen. You can hang on to it. And as we pray for each other, as people with a new position, new promises, new purpose, and a new peace, Jesus Christ, which is our peace, we can hang on to the truth till He does call us out here. I hope God lets us build a new building. I hope He does, if He's going to leave us here. I'd rather He took us out of here. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But I hope He does, and I hope that as long as we're here, God blesses it and grows the church as He sees fit daily, not just quantity but quality. But we've already won. I'm victorious. I'm not running trying to grab a hold of something. He already grabbed a hold of me, and He's taking me with Him. I'm not waiting for somebody to hand me the baton and say, you made it, you crossed the finish line. I crossed the finish line when I trusted Christ my Lord and Savior. What's that mean? The finish line is guaranteed. We're already in Him. You can hang on to it. Well, you know, you can lose it. No, I could, but He can't. He has me. I don't have Him. We have each other. I'm not wondering whether or not I'm going to lose it. I'm wondering whether or not I'm going to have any rewards when He gets me there, because I'm already spiritually there. You can hang on to it. And I don't believe that because I'm a Baptist. I believe that because I have a Bible. I'm not against the Baptist name, but I'm for the book. As far as I'm concerned, if you throw the book away, you're not a Baptist anyway. Amen. I mean, seriously. That's just a name. Here's something that'll shake the brethren if they hear it. Jesus Christ wasn't a Baptist. Amen. He fulfilled the law as a Jew. All man Jew and all God God. He wasn't a Baptist. He wasn't an Anabaptist. He wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't an American Baptist. He wasn't a Methodist. He wasn't a Southern Baptist. God knows that. Amen. He wasn't any of that. He wasn't a Calvinist either, by the way. Jesus Christ was God on this earth, and He is God in you. You can hang on to it. We're given a new position, new promises, new purpose, and a new peace. A new peace. And if you don't have peace, it's because you're not hanging on the book, hanging on to the truth, and trusting Him. Now, I'm not saying without pain, without problems, without sorrows, without heartache, without tears. I'm saying if you're without hope, it's because you've let go of the book. But if you're saved, you've already won. You can hang on to it.